medieval monk known as Guido the Carthusian used four Latin words to describe the stages that are involved in authentic Christian meditation, or Lectio Divina, that lead serious-minded Christians onward to experience the love that surpasses the understanding. The words are Lectio, Meditatio, Oratio, and Contemplatio. Lectio meaning to read, Meditatio to reflect on what has been read, Oratio to react, and Contemplatio to rest and repose, as we gaze in awe and admiration at the one who never ceases to love us. The early Christians knew no other method of meditation. Many of them knew whole passages, if not all the Gospels, off by heart. They had no other prayer book to hand, nor did they have need of them. When the Desert Fathers used the Scriptures, most particularly the New Testament and the Psalms, they were not interested in how much they read, but in how deeply they penetrated the sacred texts. They would read a verse at a time, going over them for a second and a third time, poring over them, entering more profoundly into their inner dynamic meaning. Then they would pause in moments of deep interior stillness to allow the same Spirit who inspired the Scriptures in the first place to inspire them also. When they'd savored one particular text, they would reverently move on to another and repeat the process, leaving pauses for silence, for the impact of the words to seep deep down into the very marrow of their being. As this prayer grew more and more intense, the moments of silence would become more and more prolonged, until in the end, the words would give way to periods of profound inner contemplation. Learning to read the Scriptures, Lectio, means learning to read in a new way and learning to listen too, as we've never really learned to listen before. You see, we're so bombarded today with reading material from all sides every day of our lives that we have to acquire a habit of reading at a breathtaking pace of knots. Every day there are the newspapers to be read, mountains of junk mail to sift through, memoranda to be absorbed, emails, letters, and bills to be dealt with. Our only concern is to glean the relevant facts as quickly as possible and then move on to something else. Now, if we apply this same technique to the way we read the Scriptures, it won't enable us to get to know Christ more deeply. They should be read as good poetry should be read, endlessly going over them to plunder their contents. This is the meaning of true Christian meditation. May God give us the grace to practice it and to practice it regularly, that Christ be born again in us by the same love that brought him to birth in the first place, in Mary's womb. When we have read the sacred Scriptures, it's time to reflect upon them, pore over them again and again, ruminate on them, as St. Augustine would say. Allow the inner meaning of every word to seep deep down into the very marrow of our being, so that their dynamic impact can register with effect. Now, in order to facilitate the use of this profound meditation, some people find it helpful to recreate the scene in which the sacred words were first spoken. Let us suppose that you have chosen to meditate upon the words of our Lord at the Last Supper. Begin by setting the scene in your imagination. Picture the apostles preparing the table. See Christ coming into the room. Watch the way he moves. Look into his face when he speaks. Then mull over his every word, trying to penetrate their inner meaning. The same sort of scene setting could be used to build up the atmosphere before meditating on other gospel texts. The Passion of Christ, for instance, would lend itself to this method of praying. Don't just think of what Christ went through in your mind. Go back in your imagination. Place yourself in the event. You are there. You are among the soldiers at the scourging, one of the crowd during the carrying of the cross. an onlooker at the actual crucifixion itself. You see everything as it happens. You open your ears and you hear what is said, and then you open your mouth and you begin to pray. To neglect the Passion as a primary source of Christian meditation and prayer is to neglect the most important manifestation of God's love that ever took place. We are not blocks, we are not stones, we are not senseless things. You see, we're not dealing here with pious fantasy, but with the most momentous historical events in human history. The Word was made flesh precisely so that people of flesh and blood could understand and see God's love made tangible. Christ's death was a brutal and painful reality through which the Word who was made flesh speaks of love in a way that is intelligible to all. For those with ears to hear with hearts to love with, it can lead them on into the most sublime union possible with the God who dwells deep down in the very depth of our being, where he has made his home within us. The more we penetrate the inner meaning of the sacred scriptures, the more we feel moved to react prayerfully with our hearts to what we have assimilated. Real prayer begins now as we start trying to raise our hearts and minds to God, as we respond to the inspired words upon which we have been reflecting. To start with, the truths of the faith are too big, too enormous, almost too incredible for us to take in. When I first heard that the stars in the nearest galaxy, Andromeda, were 2 million light-years away, I simply couldn't take it in. The distances were too enormous for my little mind. It's exactly the same with the truths of our faith, at least to begin with. They are too much for us to cope with, too great for us to take in. It's as if our minds are paralyzed by their transcendent enormity. We simply cannot penetrate or comprehend their meaning. It's the same with our emotions, too. They can only respond to a stimulus of a certain degree of intensity. When I first heard of my mother's death, I didn't react. It was too much for my emotions to cope with. It is the same with the truths of our faith, at least to begin with. However, with goodwill and with genuine, and that means continuous effort come what may, things gradually begin to change for the better. The state of mental paralysis gradually begins to lift if we persevere. The slow meditation on the sacred scriptures suddenly begin to bear fruit. The spiritual understanding begins to stir. The emotions are touched, and we begin to react. What began as rather dry academic knowledge about God changes and begins to strike us with ever-deepening impact. Knowledge begins to turn into love, and the love that God has for us begins to register with effect. Nobody can remain the same when they realize that another loves them. We respond automatically. The emotions are released, and we begin to express our love and thanks in return. This is the beginning of real prayer that will grow with depth and intensity as the truth of God's love is brought home time and time again, in so many different ways, through the slow poring over, digesting and assimilating the sacred scriptures. Now at last a new and different dimension begins to open up in our spiritual life that can change us beyond all our hopes and dreams, because with love, with God's love, all things are possible that are impossible without it. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, enkindle within them the fire of your love, that we will all be recreated in the image and likeness of your Son, Jesus, our life, our love, and our Saviour.